Hello there once again, and in tonight's edition of The Music's The Only Good Bit About It, our three guest book reviewers are, in order of self-importance, an elderly intellectual with long hair and a denim jacket who has heard of Julian Pettifer, an aristocratic intellectual who wears frilly shirts open to the waist and has his toilet paper made to measure his harrods, and an aristocratic female intellectual who spells yes, E-A-R-S, writes historical novels and must remain anonymous, although her family motto is a pinter refreshes your mouth. Well, later on we'll also be talking to four publishing agents and a Gentile, and I'll be talking, taking a look at Charles Dickens' latest book, Around the World in 80 Days. But first, elderly intellectual with long hair, which book have you chosen?
Well, I've chosen the newly dramatized version of Leo Tolstoy's novel, Anna Karenina. Maybe not the dramatization of the part, but this to my mind. This to my mind comes closest to the original vision of the protagonist's moral awareness.
Yes, of course, this is the one by Tubby the Tuber.
Yes. I think Tuba has done a remarkable job here. And of course, BBC have already snapped it up for production.
Yes. In fact, in addition to talking through my nose all the while, I think we can now just see a short clip from that, Anna Karenina, as dramatized by Tubby the Tuba. Tubby the Tuber's version of Anna Karenina there. Aristocratic female who spells yes, E-A-R-S. As well as me speaking as though I've got a tea cosy stuffed up each nostril, I believe that you chose the new book of scripts from the TV series Are You Being Funny?
Yes. Yes, I did. I think what impressed me most about the Are You Being Funny transcripts was the hilariously amusing scene where Mrs. Slocum, brackets with purple wig on, says she's going home to give her hamster a shampoo and put a little pink bow on it. It's very funny.
I'm sorry, but I think it was her pussy.
Sorry?
I think the word was a pussy, not hamster.
Oh, ears. Well, it was some pet or other, I know. It's splendid family entertainment.
No, I think you're both missing the point here. Surely, the whole crux of the program isn't Mrs. Slocum shampooing her pussy and Mr. Humphrey's gaying around all over the shop, but the intrinsic corruptness of the Roman imperial system at that time.
I think that you're thinking of I, Claudius.
Oh, am I?
Yes.
Ah.
Well, from me sounding like Cyrano de Bergerac with sinus trouble, let's move on now to me still sounding like Cyrano de Bergerac with sinus trouble while I talk to our next guest about his latest book. Good evening, Mr. Seamus O'Rafferty Flynn Doherty de Dublin.
Good evening, sir. Good evening.
You are, I believe, Irish.
That's correct, sir. That's correct, yes.
You come from the land where people shin up ladders.
Correct, sir, yes.
You are of the race of men who often do themselves a nasty injury trying to lay a brick.
Correct, sir, yes.
I see. Well, obviously, I don't want to labour that point because it is, of course, totally irrelevant to our discussion about your new book, which I see is entitled The Reviled and Savage Fruits of Spring.
Correct, sir.
Now then, Mr. Rafferty Flynn, Doherty to Dublin, one of the things which one notices most, aside from the fact that vocally I resemble a rhinitis-ridden elephant, is the somewhat brief nature of this book of yours.
Well, yes, I suppose it is a bit short, sir, yes.
Just one word, in fact.
Is it? I've never really counted, sir.
I can assure you I have, and I can assure you it does just tot up to one word.
Thank you, sir, thank you.
Don't you feel that at £4.95 in hardback, the word knockers is a wee bit expensive?
Well, not really, sir. It's no more expensive than my last novel, sir.
Oh, yes, your last novel,
yes,
Enthroned in the Hearts of Kings. Now, this, if my memory serves me correct, was about the same length.
Yes, that's correct, sir.
Just one word?
Yes, sir, that's quite correct, sir, yes.
Of the word knickers?
Correct, sir. I wrote most of that one while I was in Venice 3 years ago, sir. Obviously, it took quite a lot of research, that one. But I was able to go into it quite deeply, because I believe...
I understand also, Bog Irish, that at the moment you are working on your thread book.
That is right, sir, yes.
Well, so far we've had knockers and knickers, and I understand this one will complete the trilogy.
That's right, yes, sir. Knackery.
Knackery.
It's got a surprise ending, sir.
Mr. O'Rafferty, Flynn, Doherty to Dublin, thank you and get out. Well, and so finally we come to the moment you've all been waiting for. I'm going to blow my nose. Oh, that's better. as I said earlier, we're now going to have a look at Charles Dickens' latest book, which is Around the World in 80 Days by Jules Verne. Basically, what the author has done here is to Dickens the story up in his own inimitable way. And I must say that I thoroughly enjoyed reading all 892 pages, although the second chapter wasn't quite so good, and the others were even worse. Anyway, before we talk about it in detail, we've just prepared a short dramatized extract from the book to give you the general feel of it.
Presents Charles Dickens' version of Around the World in 80 Days, specially abridged for the non-existent screen by taking out all the characters whose names begin with Pumble, Chumble, Rumble, Nurdle, Durdle, Burdle, Chuzzle, Guzzle, Muzzle or Spruzzle, or ends with Illywick, Nillypick, Shillybrick, Prillysick or Anthony Wedgwood Ben's nickname. Yes, the Dickensian version of Around the World in 80 Days, featuring Chris Emmett as the poor orphan boy who loses his valuables in a sawmill and has to take up ballet teaching. Joe Kendall as the woman who never takes off her enormous flowing wedding dress, and Nigel Reese as her husband who has to use a torch to have a good time. Not forgetting Fred Harris as Pip, the out-of-work BBC time signal, who joins the King's cobblers and gets deported. Our story comes from the famous pen of Charles Dickens, which unfortunately was never as successful as its owner.
Book the first. It was the habitual custom of Eusebius Chumbly's Snods occasionally, when possessed of those violent fits of coughing which left him short of breath through constantly walking across the room to retrieve his tonsils from the coal scuttle, to indulge perforce in the time-honored nightly remedy of rubbing Vic on the chest. Though this never actually cleared up his cold, it seems to do Vic a power of good. One fine spring morning, Old Chumbly Snogs occasionally repaired to his club in Piccadilly, where he and his companions all sat waiting impatiently for the story to begin.
You know something, Chumbly Snogs, occasionally.
What's that, fizzy, wacky wogs, Dingleby Snurdles?
Well, I'll chew me naughties off if I'm wrong, sir. But sometimes I wish I'd never been born a Dickens character.
Why is that, fizzy, wacky wogs, Dingleby Snurdles?
Well, I'll chew me naughties off if I'm wrong, sir. But if I wasn't a Dickens character, I wouldn't have to keep using ridiculous expressions like I'll chew me naughties off if I'm wrong, sir. And I'll chew me naughties off if I'm wrong, sir.
Yes. Well, it's the same for me, old dear. If I hadn't been born into a Dickens novel, I wouldn't have to keep blowing my nose on schoolboys or gargling with snuff, that sort of thing.
No, and I wouldn't have to keep taking all these hormone tablets just to annoy my wife.
Oh, dear. Here comes that new fellow, young, Phineas the Fog, isn't it?
Ah, good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Chumbly Snogs occasionally.
Good morning.
Mr. Fizzy Wacky Wogs Dingleby Snurdle. Yes. A man who keeps taking hormone tablets to annoy his wife.
Good morning.
Man who keeps stuffing his wig in the top of his trousers and frightening old ladies. Man who does something rather unpleasant with a walking stick and a knob of margarine. And man who indulges in absolutely no eccentric Dickensian activity whatsoever.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you all? Jolly good, jolly good.
Did I tell you? I bought another Rembrandt last week.
I'll chew me naughties off if I'm wrong, sir, but I don't think you did. Was it good?
Was it good? Oh, yes. Delicious.
I don't like Rembrandt, sir. Never have done. They get in me teeth. Yes, I have the same problem, and I don't care if it's not my line.
I find a plate of Bruegel's is always good for the old, you know.
Keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Much better than prunes.
Never really made it as a painter, did he, prunes?
Not prunes, no.
Too hooked up on the business of being a load of old dried-up plums to really give painting his full attention.
I always say you can't beat a really Hieronymus Bosch kebab.
Yes, so you do, yes.
Just a minute, gentlemen, just a minute.
Yes?
Am I to understand that you buy valuable old Flemish paintings in order to eat them?
Well, you've got to.
Why?
Well, otherwise they'll go bad.
Don't be so ridiculous. You're supposed to just let them hang so people can come and look at them.
I do.
I mean the painting.
Sounds like a crackpot idea to me.
That's the trouble with you, gentlemen. You sit around all day long in this silly club when what you really need is a kick up the answer me this.
What?
Why don't you get out more? Travel the world. See the sights.
Travel the world? Don't be absurd. We'd fall off the edge. Chew me naughties off if I'm wrong, sir.
Look, I'll prove it's possible. I'll wager you I can travel right round the world in 80 seconds.
80 seconds?
Easily.
You're on, sir.
80 seconds?
Right. Now let's see. Yesterday's second was Thursday's second, tomorrow's Saturday's second, so that means to second's Friday's second.
Something tells me we could be on to a winner here.
Well, we'll soon find out. off you go then, Fog. Around the world in 80 seconds. Start the clock.
Very good. I shall see you all in 80 seconds from now. Wish me bon voyage, gentlemen. Taxi! 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 Hansom cab! Bianco! American Express.
Ah, there you are, Fogg. Are you still just starting your trip round the world, or have you just arrived back?
Well, still just starting, actually.
I'll chew me noties off if I'm wrong, sir. But I'll wager he's lost his bet.
I think so, too.
Yes, the time's up. Your 80 seconds are gone.
Oh, are they? Oh, well, perhaps I didn't mean seconds. I obviously meant that other word.
Minute?
Yes, that must be it. Yes, double or quits, I can do it in 80 minutes.
Oh, off you go, then.
Chapter 2. There comes a perforation in the andrex of life when we all of us needs must recourse to some form of academic instruction. The fell hand of fate dealt such a blow to young Rodney Snipswinkles on the occasion of his 13th birthday, when his father, the Lord Tweedy Snipswinkles, who had 22 other children and a habit of falling over sideways, boxed the young boy's ears and dispatched him lock, stock, and barrel to St. Wet's Academy for Young Gentlemen, wherein, let it be said, the founder and proprietor, one Dr. Samuel Wet, was mercurial in his admonishment of those rebellious pupils who floundered in their application to the school's formal wet practices. For it was conditional of attendance that each boy should be schooled in the wet arts of how to cut crusts off paste sandwiches, how to sniff your socks before putting them on, how to tuck your shirt and pullover into the top of your underpants, and how to vote liberal. And so, whilst the young Snipswinkles was thus wetting himself up for the life ahead, the noble Chumbly Snogs occasionally and his peers were the meantime charting Phineas Fogg's progress on his marathon 80-minute trip around the globe.
Ah, here we are. I just got this late edition of the Times.
What does it say in the Times?
It says, Canute in Wrangle over Danegeld.
I see. I've got another edition here, which isn't quite so late.
Oh, good.
Yeah, here we are. Look, a fork cuts off vital areas.
Poacher.
Yeah. It's that's the weather report. Give it to me here.
Yes,
let me read. Ah, yes. No, here we are. A Phineas Fogg, a Dickens character, of chapters 1 to 23, Around the World in 80 Days. Today, wagered with the old fogies who are reading this newspaper. It's not a very nice wagered that he could travel right round the world in 80 minutes. Yeah. Latest reports indicate that 62 minutes after starting off from his club in Piccadilly, he has already reached the Lion's Corner House at Leicester Square, thus completing the first leg of his journey.
Good Lord, did you hear that?
Yes.
I'll chew me naughties off if I'm wrong, sir. But that still means he's got another 18 minutes left. He might make it yet.
What time is it?
Hang on, I'll just get a late copy of the Times and find out. 10:30.
Good heavens, that's interesting.
What?
It says here in the Times that my flies are undone.
Really?
Oh, yes, he's right. Look, it's quite a big article in here.
But not only that, it says I'm late for today's company board meeting. Well, Lord, I'd forgotten all about that. Do excuse me, gentlemen. I'm so sorry I'm late, Mr.
Chumbly.
So sorry.
That's all right, Mr. Chumbly Snogs occasion, and we're just about to start. Now then, I call to order this annual board meeting of Sex Factor Coloured Water Bottlers Limited. Now, before we begin, I'd just like to remind you of our profits on unmentionable body functions for the past year. On embarrassing stains, 6 million. On embarrassing the rest of Middlesex, 11 million. On what your best friend would tell you if he could get close enough, 17 million. And on personal wetness, Nicholas Parsons.
Not good at all.
It's a bit of a disappointing year there on the unmentionable things front.
We were, of course, hoping to really clean up on something quite unmentionable. But then Kenneth Tynan went and mentioned it, that was that. Well, what we need is something really and absolutely unmentionable to tide us over until the researchers develop another difficult moment when you need to sprinkle coloured water over yourself. Mr. Sniffkins, how are you getting on with the toiletry products?
Well, the doctor's given me some special chocolates, sir.
No. I meant our new range of bottles of coloured water.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Well, you see, one of the backroom boys is now developing something that could be really big. So we're working on some ointment for that.
Yes, sir, but they've also discovered something that could really put this company back on its overeaters again.
And what's that?
Earlobes, sir.
Earlobes?
No, sir. Earlobes.
But what's so unmentionable about earlobes?
Well, nothing, sir. That's exactly the point. There's absolutely no reason on earth why anyone should be embarrassed by earlobes. It's our big chance, sir. All we have to do is make them embarrassing, and we'll have a whole new market to tap.
Oh, I see. You mean earlobes?
Yes, sir. Look, here's one of the commercials we've prepared.
It was always the same for Lord Wigg at the charity football matches. Whenever he scored a goal, none of his teammates ever came up and kissed him.
Here, Henry. What's that you're splashing all over yourself?
Hey, what? Oh, blimey, that's another pair of shoes I've ruined.
Here, Henry. Why is it no one ever comes up to congratulate me when I kick the balls in?
Well, you see, that's because you're not using this.
Low boy. Under ear deodorant. Simply spray on. Ooh. Under ear?
No. Up here. Yeah. I'll tell you, Lord Wigg, low boy's definitely the stuff for great ears, so it should suit yours down to the ground.
Here, Henry, how do you put it on?
Simple. Look, I just spray it into me right ear, like this, see?
That's amazing, it's coming straight out your left ear.
Yeah. Low boy. Try it today, fellas. It makes me look and feel what I am. An idiot. Idiot, board number two. Independent, masculine, he-man with...
Okay, let's try once again from the top, Henry.
Anyway, you get the idea, sir.
Yes, I see. Well, that all looks extremely promising. In that case, there's just one other item of business, and that's the matter of publicity. Chumbly Snogs, occasionally.
Yes?
I'm not exactly overawed by some of these brand names you've come up with.
Really? So what's wrong with them?
Well, it may just be my personal taste, but we'll see what you think of these, gentlemen. Here we are. Look. Old Pufter. The aftershave that drives women wild. Dung. Freshes the ocean breeze. Mafia for lasting 24-hour protection. Sulfuric acid. Be careful how you use it. I mean, I'm not being picky here, Chumbly Snobs, occasionally. It's just well, to my mind, as it were, you're fired.
Very good, sir. Thank you.
Chapter 3. It was a normal practice of the Misses Arabella Snodwopsle and Rosa Dogs Whoopsies to forsake their Great Portland Street dwellings 5 times a year and adjourn for Christmas at Dingley Dell.
And what delicious fun there was, to be sure, when they took to the open fields and woods and began skating on the ice.
Oh, I say, Trot and Nathaniel, this is such fun. Look, here comes Arabella.
What do you think, Rosa? You know that your cousin Phineas has started out on a trip around the world and in 66 minutes had only got as far as Charing Cross Station.
Yes?
Well, apparently in the last 3 minutes he's put on an extra spurt and he's got to Istanbul. Isn't that exciting? They say it's ever so dangerous. He's already hacked his knee in Hackney, cracked a toe in Krakatoa, and caught his rear in Korea.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed for him in Bangkok. And now I'm off for another run down the slide. Come on, Master Nathaniel.
Yes, very good, Miss Rosa. Oh no, what's this I've just trodden in?
Eric Powell of Croydon.
Good Lord, what are you doing out here?
I've come to ask pity, sir. My poor little son's just passed away.
Oh, really?
Yes, he fell headfirst into a pile of manure. And he died, sir.
What? What, of a broken neck?
No, loneliness. I find a lot of these in the Beezer, you know.
Yes. Well, it'd be nice meeting you, Mr. Croydon, but I've got to...
I've just got back from my girlfriend's, you know.
Your girlfriend?
Yeah. She invited me round on the pretext of having a game of cards.
Oh, yes. Poker?
Well, at this point, I'm afraid Charles Dickens stopped writing because he suddenly remembered that he was, of course, dead. So, in fact, we never do find out whether Fogg made it around the world or not. Anyway, here to round off this edition of The Music's The Only Good Bit About It is...
Well, so much for Lesson 27, Around the World, the Baggins Way. If you'd like to find out what happened to Phineas Fogg and how he coped when he found his passepartout had run out, right now to our Dickensian cast of Joe Kendallwick, Chris Emmett Wackett, Nigel Fizzy Rieslingbottle, and Fred Jumbly Harris Fogg's Durdles. Around the World, the Baggins Way first appeared in 20 monthly parts written by Andrew Marshall and David Benwick under their pen name of James Fenimore Barrow. And in the end, nobody whatsoever turned out to be the long-lost father of John Lloyd of Europe, whose birth certificate still remains the whodunit. See you next week, folks, and happy dynamic living.